सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतम् करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयम् व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणा देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम। सो इन दी सिक्स चैप्टर, इवन दो इट इज कॉल्ड ध्यान योगा और योगा ऑफ मेडिटेशन, इट इज अ कंप्लीट चैप्टर बाय इटसेल्फ। इट कवर्स एवरी एस्पेक्ट ऑफ आवर स्पिरिचुअल पर्सनैलिटी, ऑफ आवर पर्सनैलिटी। इट टॉक्स अबाउट द बॉडी इन वेर ही भगवान सेज युक्ताहार विहारस्य युक्तचेष्टस्य कर्मसु युक्तस्वप्नावबोधस्य योगो भवति सुखः। सो भगवान सेज द डायट शुड बी बैलेंस्ड, एक्टिविटी शुड बी बैलेंस्ड, प्ले शुड बी बैलेंस्ड। And one who lives a balanced life gets freedom from sorrow. Then at the mental level, Bhagwan says, Jitatmana Prashantasya Paramatma Samahita Yukta Sukha Yukta शीतोष्ण सुख दुखेशु समसंग विवर्जिता। सो वन हूज माइंड इज क्वाइटेंड एंड एस्टैब्लिश्ड इन द सेल्फ, द सीकर रिमेन्स बैलेंस्ड इन हीट एंड कोल्ड, जॉय एंड सॉरो, सक्सेस एंड फेलियर, हेल्थ एंड इल हेल्थ। And at the intellect level, Bhagavan says, Jnana Vijnana Triptatma Kutastho Vijitendriya Yukta Iti Uchyate Yogi Samaloshtashma Kanchana. These are all previous shlokas where I'm just summarizing that Bhagavan says at the intellectual level, one whose knowledge is clear and who has established in this knowledge, his senses are under control, then he does not give any importance to the worldly objects. Example Bhagavan gives is mud, stone, or gold. The person has no attachment to any of them. Not that he does not know the difference, but he's not attached to either of those. And so here we see that this whole path of meditation helps at the body level, mind level, intellectual level, and it is the fastest way to dissolve our vasanas, our desires, through meditation. So today in the 26th shloka, Bhagavan will give us a little more guidance about how to meditate. And 27 and 28, he will tell us what is the joy or the benefit of meditation. So we'll do number 26, chapter 6. Yato yato nischarati
Nischarati
manaschanchalam
Nischarati
astiram ततस्ततो नियम्येतत्
Nischarati
आत्मन्येव वशं नये टुगेदर यतो यतो निश्चरति मनश्चञ्चलम् अस्थिरम् ततस्ततो नियम्येतद् आत्मन्येव वशं नयेत् वी हैड कवर्ड दिस श्लोका इवन इन आवर मेडिटेशन इन ब्रीफ बट विल spend a little more time in the class discovering the same shloka. Yato yato nischarati, from whatever cause the mind gets taken outward, deviated, why the mind is chanchalam astharam, mind is restless and unsteady. We'll see the difference between the two. So as the mind gets pulled out, mind is restless and unsteady. Then from there, you should control the mind. Having controlled the mind, bring it back and center it in the self, bring it under the control of the self. What do we mean by control? We'll talk about that. So we know that the moment we sit for meditation, the mind starts running either into the past, what happened yesterday, day before, last week. Or in the future, what will I do after meditation? What breakfast will I eat? What will I do at work? So the mind either runs into the past or into the future or in the present agitations. So why does the mind run? So Bhagavan says, mind is chanchala. It is restless. And we know that our mind has hundreds and thousands of thoughts coming one after the other. And then asthiram, it is unsteady. What it means is that the mind will go from meditation to that one thought, but won't stay there. It should at least stay, no, immediately run to the second thought, third thought, fourth thought. So it is restless, it moves around and unsteady. And so, what do we do? So, it says practice shama. Shama is the quietening of the mind. We have already seen in earlier shlokas how to sit, how to breathe, what to think, and how to change our life so that our life is centered upon the mind and the quietude of the mind. That is called shama. And Gurudev says the mind is like a monkey. And we know all know the story of Ramayana, where Ramchandra ji met Sugriv in the Rishayamukh Parvat, where Sugriv was hiding because his brother Bali, the word Bali means lust, desire, lust. So Bali desired the whole kingdom and he defeated Sugriv and forced him to hide in the mountain. And he ran the whole kingdom and controlled everything. So he had excessive lust, desire. And Sugriv means right understanding. So the right understanding was driven away and the kingdom was under the control of lust, which we often happens also here when the leaders are very desirous or very, you know, selfish, then the country goes down. And Bhagavan Sri Ram helped Bali, helped Sugriv to defeat Bali. And then Sugriv helped Bhagavan Ram in destroying Ravana and the Lanka. So we see that when the kingdom was under the control of lust, and in our case, our kingdom is this body, mind, intellect. You can close the door fully. It's under the control of the body, mind, intellect. Sorry, body and mind, not the intellect. Then the mind runs and desires, I want this, I want that. And when the mind is under the control of the right understanding, then it remains steadfast. And it is because of our desires. I want this, I want that. And when we sit for meditation, instead of spending time thinking of God or Brahman, we think about objects. I'm sitting in the temple, in the hall, and my slippers are outside. And I have brand new slippers I just bought last week. I hope they don't get stolen. So instead of Brahman, you're thinking about slippers. Or, you know, I forgot to feed my dog. You know, I mean, those kind of things which can always be done a little bit later. And so the mind is all the time running into objects because of wrong thinking. And such a mind has to be brought back to the center, brought back to the self and maintained there. And if it wanders, bring it back. It's like when we are driving and you don't have one of those self-driving cars, you are still controlling with your steering wheel. And then as the road turns, the car goes a little bit to the edge of the lane, you know, and you're worried it will hit the next car. You immediately turn it, bring it back. Immediately turn it, bring it back. Or when you're teaching your child how to ride a bike, then you tell them, hold the, you know, handlebars, and if the bike goes to one side or the other side, bring it back to the center. So same way, our mind, how from wherever it has gone, you bring it back and shift your attention to the self, the Atma, the Brahman within. And Gurudev has expressed it very beautifully. He said the mind should be quiet, should be still and controlled. So what he means is that the mind, which is, first of all, you follow all the steps. You know, we have the meditation steps where you relax your mind, you watch your breath, then you pay attention to each part of the body. Then you pay attention to the gap between the thoughts. Pay attention to the gap between the breath. And so when you do that, your mind becomes quiet. And then such a quiet mind, we are not able to maintain for a long time. We find that for a while, the mind is quiet, is very peaceful, and then it runs. So Gurudev says, quiet, alert, and vigilant. So make the mind quiet with these activities. Then alert. Alert means don't let the mind wander from the self, from the inner peace. And vigilant means if the mind wanders, quickly bring it back. Be alert even to that. Don't let the thought take you to another thought, another thought, another thought. And shift your attention to the self. And we also practiced in meditation today. What is the self? Self is my true essence, who I really am. That is my essence. Just as a wooden table or a chair, you ask, what is the essence of that? Essence of that is wood. Wood is the one that you take planks and then you make a chair, table. So the essence is wood, wood. So wood with name and form becomes chair or table. Or gold. Gold is the essence of all ornaments. So gold with name and form becomes necklace, bracelet, anklet, all those. Same way, what is this world? World is nothing but Brahman, the supreme consciousness with name and form. So that's why we have name of tree or fish or bird or plant or animal or human or building, car. So all of that is nothing but Brahman and Brahman alone, this whole universe. And that's how the Bhagwan created this world. He entered into it. Bhagwan or Brahman or consciousness is in every cell of this universe and created name and form. And that's why we see all the variety of humans and animals and birds and even dogs. You have different species, fish, you have different fish plants. So all the varieties of name and form are nothing but Brahman as its essence, as the true nature of that. So our true nature, our essence is the self, the Atma, the Paramatman, what we call as Om in the BMI chart. So focus on the essence. So what is my true nature? Who am I really? Am I this body? No, because I say my body. Am I this mind? No, I say my mind, my intellect, my desires, my vasanas. So none of that I am because I am the owner of all of them. Even I'm not the ego because the ego fluctuates. Sometimes it's happy, sometimes sad, sometimes. But I, the consciousness, have been aware constantly. I remember my childhood and my youth, middle age, all old age, all those stages I am aware of, and that's what Shankaracharya ji says. Balyadishvapi jagradadishu tatha sarvasu avastha suvapi vyavritta su anuvartaman aham iti. Antasvurantam sada. So the I, that consciousness that is shining as I. Not I, the ego, but I, that consciousness that is aware from my childhood to youth, to middle age, that I am. So shift your attention from name and form to the essence. So same way, I think myself to this be this body, I'm Indian, I'm male, I'm this height, this weight, this relationship, this job, this profession, but all are my name and form, and who am I really? So Bhagwan says that you are that Atman, that Brahman. Bhagwan has explained to us in earlier chapters, right in the second chapter itself, Bhagwan says you are the Atma, and Atma never perishes. So no one dies. Everyone is eternal. Yes, the body will perish. Whatever is created will go. Whatever Brahma ji has created is temporary, will perish. Even this whole world is temporary. It's all the time changing. So from the temporary, shift your attention to the permanent. And the more you pay attention to the self, the Lord within, the more your life becomes peaceful, the more you connect with the Lord who is Sat Chit Anand, who is existence, consciousness, bliss, and peace. And that I am. So now Bhagwan in the next two shlokas will tell us what is the benefit of meditation? Why should we meditate? Having already talked in detail about the technique of meditation, the obstacles, like today he talked about the mind wandering. So these are all obstacles in my meditation. Now, having heard about what is meditation, how to meditate, how to station the body and quieten the mind, now he will tell us why we should get up early in the morning and meditate. What is the benefit of that? So shloka number 27. Prashanta manasam yenam.
Prashanta manaseham.
Yoginam sukham uttamam.
Yoginam sukham uttamam.
Upaiti shanta rajasam. Brahma bhutam kalmasham. Together. Prashanta manasam henam. Yoginam sukham uttamam. Upaiti shanta rajasam. Brahma bhutam kalmasham. So the important thing is yoginam sukham uttamam upaiti. The yogi reaches that supreme bliss. Sukham is joy or bliss. Uttamam, the highest bliss. How does he reach? So that's in the first line. So the rest of the shloka talks about how we can reach that state of supreme bliss. So it is as prashanta manasam. So make the mind prashant. You know the word shanta means peaceful mind. Prashanta means prakarshena shanta, means completely silent, completely peaceful. So make the mind peaceful. And we have already heard in previous shlokas by watching the breath, relaxing the body, you know, all those shifting the attention from the world. So with all those steps, your mind becomes peaceful. So that is step number one, to experience sukham uttamam. The second is shanta rajasam. Rajas means agitation. As we know, there are three qualities, sattva, rajas, and tamas. Tamas is laziness. Rajas is activity, but also can be agitation. And sattva is purity, calmness of mind. So most of us spend, of course, you know, in the night we sleep, but in the day, waking hours, we spend most of our time in rajas, in doing this, doing that, going here, going that. And that creates agitations because why am I doing this? To get that, to possess more. I want to become more successful, more rich, more powerful, get a better job. You know, two of us are competing for vice president of the company, and I make sure that I backstab the other guy so I can get the job. So that is rajas. Rajas is not only activity. Activity is good, but when the activity becomes excessively selfish, where I will do anything to get what I want, that is harmful. So he says, shanta rajasam. So the agitation should become quiet. That is number two. Third is Brahma Bhutam. He becomes Brahman. How can I become Brahman? We'll talk about that. Actually, we cannot become Brahman, but this phrase Bhagwan uses. And fourth is Akalmasham, without sins. So, as we said, the mind becomes peaceful by following the steps. And reducing desires, we already talked in the previous shloka, the desires are what agitates my mind. So reduce the desires. I have enough. I don't need to chase after more. Helping others, sharing. So that is reducing desires and quietening the mind. And then be watchful. You will find that the moment your mind becomes quiet, you experience that silence, that inner peace temporarily. So be watchful and let not the mind run into the world of objects. Because we all the time are looking outward, you know. Paranchi khani, it's said in the Upanishad, Paranchi khani, vyatranat swayambhu, tasmat paran pasyati na antaratmana. So Brahmaji, the creator, has made the senses to look outward. And we need that to function in the world. We need to see, hear, smell, taste, touch. But then that is the problem. Then the person is all the time looking outside for pleasure, for joy, for success. You know, seeing whatever I can get, whatever I can acquire. So it says, turn the attention of the mind and the senses inward. And that is what is meditation. And be alert as to when the mind becomes agitated, becomes disturbed, when we find too much rajas is happening, quieten the mind. And how do we quieten the mind? Shift it to sattva. And sattva are, you know, spiritual activities. I sit in front of God and I do some puja, or I meditate, or I read some good books, read Bhagavad Gita, which Swami Chinmayanandaji's commentary, or, you know, groups like this where we can sit and hear and discuss this knowledge. So all these sattvic activities will quieten the rajas, and that is very, very important, because we let our rajas, it depends what is your predominant guna. See, some people are predominant tamasic. They are lazy, they are asleep, they don't want to do anything, they want society to take care of them. And then there are others, majority, as I said, who are rajasic, who are all the time out, doing this, doing that, wanting this, wanting that. And then there are a few who are sattvic. So making my mind sattvic with those sattvic activities, puja, meditation, prayer, reading good books, and in the company of saints, company of Mahatmas. Like yesterday we had Swami Ishwarananda ji, and we had Brahmacharini Sandhya Chaitanya ji. So in the presence of Mahatmas, in the presence of saints who have given up the world and who spend their whole time in spiritual pursuits, so staying with them, the mind becomes very sattvic. And shifting from temporary to permanent. See, this world is temporary. It is changing. The tree leaves are falling. The wind is blowing. The objects of the world get old. Houses get old. Cars get old. So everything is changing. There's only one permanent, and that is Bhagwan, that is Atma, that is Brahman, and that is my true nature. So shifting your attention to the permanent is very important, and do not give too much importance to temporary. Of course, we need temporary things. We need money, house, car, all those things we need. But that should not be my whole purpose in my life, is to acquire, possess. But I should share, and I should spend at least some time every day in spiritual studies and meditation and prayer. And then as we get older, as we are retired, you can spend more time. But they say problems come. You know, problems come to everybody. So difficulties come, problems come, and I feel overwhelmed. Why is it happening to me? God, why are you sending me all these sorrows? So we blame God for everything. In fact, I heard a song where they are blaming God for this war in the Middle East. They say, God, why is there war? There is war because two, you know, egoistic powers just want more and more. So, but we blame immediately, you know, Khuda. There is a song says, Khuda, ye ladai kyun hai? Why is this war in Middle? War is, saying, Bhagavan says, I am a non-doer. I just give you the energy. You use the energy to bomb each other and kill each other, then you suffer the consequences. But if problems come, how do I handle it? So they say there are three methods. One is karmas, one is God is the divine doctor, and the third is witness. So karma is it like something bad is happening to me, or even good is happening to me. So we say it's the result of my karmas, because nothing comes without reason. Bhagwan's universe is totally cosmos. It's not a chaos. It's not that he's randomly giving joys to some and sorrows to others. And person says, you know what? God has special packets of sorrow. And whenever I get happy, he sends a packet by UPS. It comes to me and then I suffer. So we have this packet yoga. That, you know, and then some guru will say, I'll send you a packet of this bhasma. You put it on your forehead, or this powder you dissolve in water and drink. So Gurudev says there is no packet yoga. No rishi or mahatma or teacher worth his name will talk about this. He will say, I'll give you advice, you follow. So anything good or bad happening is the result of my karmas. If something bad is happening, it is my fault. And I just bear it without complaint and do good karmas at least when I am here, so that my future will be better. So that is the one method to handle problems. Second is see that I am in this hospital of the world and God is the divine doctor. And I am here because I'm suffering, you know, this vasanas is my disease, you know. So I'm suffering from some disease called vasana, called ego. And Bhagwan is the divine doctor who knows how to take care of my problem. So even if I'm suffering, God is giving me a bitter medicine. You know, like when you go to the hospital or to the doctor, he might give you bitter medicine, give you painful injections, or even do surgery, you know, depending on the extent of your illness. So Bhagwan is the divine doctor. He's very loving. He's very kind. He's very compassionate. He knows what medicine is good for me. If I can get well with simple medicine, he will give me little sorrow. But if some people are very stubborn, no matter what problems come, they don't improve, then Bhagwan says, then I have to do surgery on this person. So Bhagwan is the divine doctor and I'm in his hospital and I am getting well. If I follow Bhagwan's medicine, read the Bhagavad Gita, I get out of this sorrow of this hospital, this world. And that is called enlightenment, where I have gotten well and I'm discharged. I don't need to come back. But if I'm ongoing suffering, then I still need some medicine. So be grateful to God, not only for joys, but also for sorrows. Bhagwan, you know what is good for me. Hoi wo sohi jo Rama rachi rakha. It is a very beautiful line in the Ramayana. One should just, what do you call, imprint it on the forehead. Or hoi so sohi. So Rama Rachi Raka means whatever is happening, Shri Ram is doing it. Bhagwan is doing it. Whatever is happening in the world. So wherever the medicine is needed, he will provide it. So accept it without complaint. And the third is be a witness. And we have talked about that many times. All these points are on the board. We will see these points on the board. So you can see in number 27, it says, be a witness. And we see, so it is also on your phone. If you go to the Gita class app, WhatsApp, it is there. So it says that be a witness and watch and say, okay, the sorrow is coming, will go. Joy is coming, will also go. But I am not the body, mind, intellect. The sorrows belong to the body, the mind, the intellect. I am the Atma, the self, and in my presence, this everything is happening. So pay attention to that. So pay attention to the witness and just work in the world, play a role, play a part that you are playing, and that is my true self. So that is my true self. And that is who I am. And that is what we have to shift attention to that. And the example they give in a movie, you know, like there's a person who is playing the part of a villain. And he may be the nicest person, like Pran, even though he always played the role of villain in the movies. He was in real life a very, very good person. But he played the worst of roles. He used to cheat and steal and hurt the hero, fight with him, hurt the villain. But inside he knew that I am not this villain. He knew who he was and he just played the role. So similarly, you and I have been given the role of mother, father, brother, sister, you know, son, daughter. So whatever roles I have, I play the roles to the best of my ability, but don't get too caught up in the role. So that is called playing the role as a witness. Do not get too caught up in the role. And how can I be happy? So Shankaracharya ji says in Bhaj Govindam, Bhoga Ratova, Yoga Ratova, Sangha Ratova, Sangha Vihinam, Yasya Brahmani Charati Nityam, Nandati 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 Eva. So Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji says, whether you are enjoying bhoga or you are doing yoga, doing spiritual activities, but if your mind is always in God, then you always enjoy. Such a person, even sorrow comes, doesn't affect him because I am one with God. And keep your mind as often as possible in God. And when anger comes, there was a Mahatma who said, told his disciples that when you get angry, whatever you are angry at, just take a paper and write God's name 200 times. Om Namah Shivaya or Shri Krishna, Sharanam Mama or whatever. And when the mind is on God, then your mind will be joyful, will be happy. So that's what it says. Whether you are in joy, whether you are in sorrow, if your mind is on God, you are enjoying. And the example they give is of a rocket. So here Ramchandra ji means mind is on God. Whatever is happening, God is doing it. And the example they give is of a rocket. Like a rocket, what happens when they send it from the earth? The earth's pull is so strong that the majority of the fuel is consumed in getting the rocket out of the earth's atmosphere. It has to struggle. A lot of energy is used. And then once it gets out of the earth's gravitation, then smoothly it flies. And then when it goes to the moon, we just saw astronauts returning from circling the moon. But if the rocket has to land on the moon or the astronaut, the rocket slowly glides down and they use actually parachutes and, you know, thrust to slowly land. So similarly, you and I, we are under the grip of ego. And as long as we are under the grip of ego, we have to struggle to get out. And that we have to use a lot of energy. But once I am out of the grip of ego, then my mind slowly glides towards God. And the last stage, I cannot reach God. God has to pull me, just as the rocket. When it comes close to the moon's gravity gently pulls it down. So similarly, I struggle to get out of the ego. Then I gently float towards God. And then the last step, you say, Bhagwan, I cannot do any further. You have to pull me towards you. And Bhagwan will do that. Bhagwan is just waiting for people to come to him. And when he says Brahma Bhutam means becoming one with God. Does not mean I become God. All of us are actually that Brahman. As we said, the whole world is nothing but Brahman. But we are so caught in the ego. But as we spend more time in spiritual activities, in puja, in meditation, in reading about God, then slowly our mind becomes more focused on God and we become one with God. So we, even though we already are one, What separates us from God is our ego, our vasana. So getting rid of the ego quietens the mind, and that is called becoming one with God. Means the ego goes away and God and I are one. That is the final understanding. And for that, you have to remove your impurities. Akalmasham means, so to enjoy this supreme bliss, I have to quieten my mind. I have to reduce my agitation. I have to get close to God and remove my impurities. So when we practice these four things, then we enjoy that sukham uttamam, the highest peace, highest bliss, which these yogis, mahatmas, these great souls, they all the time live in that. You and I, when we put effort, we reach that state. We'll do number 28. Yunjan evam sadatmanam. Yogi vigata kalmashah. Sukhena brahma samsparsham. Atyantam sukham ashnute. Yunjan evam sadatmanam. Together. Yunjan evam sadatmanam. Yogi vigata kalmashah. Sukhena brahma samsparsham. Atyantam sukham ashnute. So this yogi in the last quarter is atyantam sukham ashnute. He enjoys that bliss which is never ending. Eternal bliss he enjoys, he experiences. How? In the first three quarters, yunjan evam, practicing in this way, sada. Sada means always. Always having contact with the self. We already talked about Brahman, so Atmanam. Yogi vigata kalmasha, free from sins, free from impurities. Easily, sukhena, easily, brahma samsparsham. The contact with Brahman, he reaches. And that is supreme bliss. So again, Bhagavan has again emphasized contact with Brahman, because we always think God is far away, Brahman is something I cannot reach. So Bhagavan says how to contact this God and be one with him or her, because this word Brahman is neuter. It is neither male nor female. So God does not have a particular sex, even though we have Lord Shiva, Mother Parvati, Lakshmi ji, Vishnu Bhagavan and all. But in essence, they are all God is one. It is neither male nor female. It is the substratum of this entire universe. So yunjan evam. So practicing. Evam. Evam means whatever I have told you in the first 27 shlokas of this chapter. So one who practices yoga. Yoga means dhyana yoga. Who practices meditation. Sada. Now, sada means that I have to sit for meditation 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I cannot do that. I have to get up. I have to, you know, eat breakfast, go to work, do my daily activities. So sada, Gurudev explains, when Bhagavan says sada or always, there are two meanings. One is that when I'm sitting for meditation, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, hour, whatever time you sit. At that time, sada means always, at least in that time, keep your mind on God. That is number one. Sada means always. So at least 20, 30 minutes, remember God. Do not remember the world. Or if you do, bring it back, as we spoke in the previous shloka. Then sada also means that throughout the day, whenever you have an opportunity, remember God as often as you can. When you see a flower, a tree, see a child smile, you know, see the sunrise, the sunset, you go for a walk, there's a gentle breeze, there's a moon in the sky. So whenever you see those things, remember God, and also put reminders, like in your phone, you can put God's picture, you know, you can, Bhagwan Shri Krishna, Lord Shiva, whoever, your Ishta Devta, and then every 2 or 3 months, change the picture, otherwise your mind gets used to it. You don't think about God, you just open the phone and go on. But change the picture, because if you go to Google Images, there are hundreds of images of Lord Shiva, Lord Krishna, Sri Rama, Mother Saraswati. So change the image, so that way whenever you turn on your phone or look at your phone, at least you remember God. Put little picture of God, or if you can, on your, you know, in the windshield of your car or in the dashboard. So put reminders around the house, you know, put pictures, and then also spend some time in regular puja, meditation. So often as you can, turn your attention towards God. So that is Sada. And Atma, the self, we already have talked about in the previous shloka, that is God who is within me, who is giving me life, consciousness. So every activity I'm doing, I remember God. When I'm eating, I remember God. When I'm working, when I get up in the morning, get up chanting his name. When I go to work, I bow down to Lord in my puja room. Oh God, I am going to work, you know, please be with me. Or I'm starting my day's work. You don't have to even go to work. And contact with God or Brahman, as we said, we all are always in contact with Brahman, but we forget. So shift your attention to that which is the substratum, which is the essence we talked about. So that is contact with God. And the result of that is that your mind becomes quiet, becomes undisturbed. And why does our mind get disturbed? Because of desires. You know, I don't have it and I want it, so I'll be happy. When I have it, I want more, I'll be happy. So a person who is not married, he says, when I marry, then I'll be happy. I'm lonely, I'm alone. And then once he gets married, so, are ye kya hua? then he's looking to get divorced. He says, how can I leave this? And the funny part is that he's trying to divorce this girl, this woman, and there is another guy who loves this woman, and he's waiting, when will she get divorced so I can marry? Maybe he knows her from work or what. So, you know, anything that we get, we are always looking for something better, something else. And as we said, we are looking for happiness outside, not within. Happiness, true happiness is within. Atyantam sukham ashnute. It is within us, that is atmanam, the joy of the atma, the self, but we are looking for it outside. And the goal of meditation and spiritual study is explained very well. I heard of an example of a rock, of a balloon. So, you know, we have these helium balloons and children, you know, are playing, and suddenly they, you know, lose the string and it goes up and up and it's gone. And it doesn't keep going forever. What happens is that the balloon, when the air becomes very low, the pressure in the balloon becomes more than the pressure outside. And then that, because of that inner pressure, the balloon ruptures and the rubber falls back to the earth, and the space in the balloon merges with the total space. Even though it was one space, but there was this division of the balloon. So same way you and I, in our spiritual journey, as we progress further and further, as we progress, our ego gets less and our you know, energy increases more than, you know, what. So then that, with that energy, our mind ruptures, our ego ruptures. Ruptures doesn't mean your mind becomes, is gone and you become a dumb, you know. No, not like that. What it means is the ego ruptures. And that is the balloon, the rubber that was holding my space from the total space, just as the balloon is holding the balloon space from the total space. So me, my mind and the total mind, which is God, there is a division of the ego. That's why I am different from you, and I like you, I don't like you, I love this, I don't love this, and I am far from God. So the yoga of meditation, when we practice, our ego dissolves, and we were always with God, but we realize our oneness. So the balloon example is very good whenever you think God is far away. And then you experience that I am that consciousness, I really am. But what holds us back is our possessions. I have, how can I let go of this? How can I let go of that? So things, possessions, or people, or job, or situation, all those things hold us back, you know. And we cannot surrender all that to reach God. Surrender does not mean you give everything up and put on orange clothes. I mean, some people do that, but the majority of us, we have to live in the world, but don't be off the world. Don't not be too much attached to things of the world, attached to God. That is actually our message for children also in the hall, in the assembly. So the example I heard is about the bird, you know, like there is a bird, baby bird, who is just born and holding on to the branch. He doesn't want to let go. And the mother is flying back and forth to show him, look, I am flying, you can also fly. And the bird is too scared to leave the branch, even though he can fly him, but he's too scared. And then sometimes the mother has to come and push him or even poke him with her beak. And then the bird gets scared and he leaves. And then he realizes, oh, I can fly freely. And then he's happy. Then he's following the mother and chasing her and, you know, getting worms and all. So same way, you and I are so attached to our things. It could be possessions, could be people, could be job situations, that we do not attach to God. So Gurudev used to say, detach from the world and attach to God. And once you do that, once you give up your worldly attachments and dedicate all your activities to God, it doesn't mean you have to stop working and not go to work. Whatever I'm doing is I'm doing it for God. If I'm dealing with clients at business, that I see God in them. If I'm dealing with patients, I see God in them. If I'm dealing with my family, with my neighbors, with my friends, God is in everything. So dedicating all activities to God, that's why these swamis, all they chant, you know, Brahmarpanam, Brahma. So that whatever I'm eating is God, the one who prepared is God, the one who grew this grain is God. And when I eat, I nourish God, who is the digestive fire. So seeing God in all activities, dedicating all activities to God, slowly reduces my dependence upon the world, and then I can fly. Once I become one with that, then nothing holds me back. So that is the, and of course, efforts are required. Efforts I have to do, you know, like the bird also has to put effort to fly. But then once he realizes he can fly, then he can go anywhere. So you and I can reach God, but we are holding on too much to our things. And the example they give is of the river. Just as a river, when she is flowing towards the ocean, it could be River Nile, it could be Ganga, could be Brahmaputra, could be Mississippi, and it's flowing and it goes through all obstacles and problems because her goal is to go to the ocean. And once the river merges with the ocean, then there is no Nile, no Brahmaputra, no Ganga, no Mississippi. It's all one big ocean. So same way, you and I, our goal in life should be that I want to merge with God. And obstacles will come, difficulties will come, but just as the river doesn't give up till she finally reaches, and along the way she's serving. See, Gangaji, when it is traveling on both sides, you know, people take, you know, grow their crops, They live there, they get water, everything comes, and her source is, of course, from the higher. So same way you and I, our source is higher. Bhagwan is our source. And while I'm living in the world, let me serve whatever way I can help, whatever way I can give back. And my ultimate goal is to become one with God. And then forget this cycle of birth and death, just as the river loses her identity and becomes one with the ocean. So you and I have to lose our ego and become one with God. And what is the best way to know it is through Vedanta, through studying Vedanta, which the Upanishads and all of this are Vedanta and Bhagavad Gita. And they say it is in Sanskrit and difficult to understand, difficult to translate. But we have Pooja Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda, and all the previous Mahatmas, his guru, and Shankaracharya ji, and all Ved Vyas ji, all of then we have current Swami Ishwarananda ji and all. So all these Mahatmas have give us this knowledge, and Vedanta is written in Sanskrit because that is the highest knowledge, highest language which can communicate this knowledge to us, because the rishis say that this knowledge is very difficult to communicate, but they try to speak to us in our language. Like they told Gurudev, you shouldn't be speaking in English. But he said the majority of the people understand English. How many people know Sanskrit in the in India? Handful. Just as so they speak to us in our language because this knowledge is so difficult. So the example they give is like, suppose there is a child, you know, who's 5 or 6 or 7 years old, or maybe 9, 8 or 9, and you are trying to teach him geometry. You know, in the beginning, you don't say square of the hypotenuse is the sum of the square of the other two sides. You know, 5 or 6 year old, you tell him this is a triangle, this is a long side, this is a short side, this is right. So you speak to him in his language, you know, what the child can understand. You don't talk to them about quantum physics or difficult thing. So same way the rishis, knowing our limited abilities, they have simplified this highest truth to us in the Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita, and then sent, then Bhagwan has sent Mahatmas like Pooja Gurudev and all of those who have simplified this language for us even further by talking to us in English, giving us commentaries. So that's why the reading Guru Pooja Gurudev's commentary is very important to do that, you know, whenever you can, either before or after the class. So that is the way to become one with Brahman. And that is the way what we call as Brahma Samsparsham. Contact of with Brahman means knowing that I am always with God. It's not that I am now separate from God and I will contact God, because God is always contacted by us. That's why I'm able to walk, talk, and all that. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to do that. But recognizing God's presence in all activities, in all efforts, in all situations. So that is the essence of this 28. So as we said, 26 told us how to practice this meditation, and 27, 28 tell us what is the joy of meditation, what is the benefit. And this, the benefit of meditation will continue even further in the next few shlokas. And how to attain oneness with God, that will be covered, we'll cover it next week. And not only oneness with God, but oneness with the entire world. So I'll end here, and then we'll see you all next week. Next week, the topic is how to see oneness, how to become one with the world and one with God. So this oneness that is people always talk about, so that we will cover next week. So thank you. Hari Om. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhave. ॐ असतो मा सद्गमय तमसो मा ज्योतिर्गमय मृत्योर्मा अमृतं गमय। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ।